To order, she was kind of needs some reflections.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Bradley.
Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful to be here this morning and for each day that you give us and the sunshine, the clouds, the rain. We're so appreciative of how you take care of us here in our county. Father, we come to conduct business of the county today, and we know that there are things on the agenda that need to be covered and dealt with, and it affects people who work here. And Father, we just pray for understanding. We pray for wisdom for those making decisions. We're grateful for all of our county employees and all that they do to make life better for the citizens. And Father, today I want to pray especially for Erica Kavanaugh and her children after that accident this weekend that has put all of them in the hospital. God, we just pray for their healing. We thank you for the doctors, the nurses, all of those who give care. We pray for the extended family, and we pray, Father, for the county staff, and we just ask you to give encouragement as we as all work through this difficult situation, but especially for that family today, we lift them up in our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alrighty, Supervisor Howe?
Here.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Here.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
I'm here.
And real quick, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District in County Service Area 4 and receives no additional compensation.
Someday that will change. Okay, we're going to move on to item 4, our presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented to, if so desired, by providing a maximum or minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record. Prior to providing your comments, please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Steve Bradford, you're up first.
Good morning. I really wanted to rip right into you all, but I'm not. Oh.
First, we need your name for the record.
Right. Steve Bradford. I live right across the street from Evergreen Elementary. And I'm blessed to watch these moms and dads every morning unload their kids. And it's the cutest thing ever. It's just so wonderful to see America alive. And that just touches my heart every morning. And then I drive up my driveway and I see all the little kids over there in the playground. And it's just, you know, every year it's there. You know, it's new little kids, little human beings growing up. And it's really wonderful. So, I mean, I'm really, really happy to be a part of Siskiyou County. But what I wanted to say was that I'm very, very disappointed in the leadership of this county. We have these dams coming out, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it. You know, I mean, maybe you are. We don't hear about it. There's no leadership. There's no strong advocate to say, we don't want this happening in Siskiyou County. Like what happened to the forest and the mills and the logging. And, you know, I just found out the other day, and it makes perfect sense. The forest hasn't been managed, and so now the beetles have been taking over the pine trees, and all the, you know, we all know the pine trees are dying like crazy because of these beetles. And that's forest management, FYI. Another thing I wanted to say is I watch Shasta County a lot with what they're doing down there. And they recalled the supervisor, and I'm not threatening or doing anything like that at all. I'm just bringing information. He was a guy that was not suitable for his job any longer. He'd been there for a long, long time. They recalled him. Well, Newsom got a hold of, you know, Communist Newsom got a hold of this information, And right away he put a bill out that says that he has the power, and it's being voted on today, the bill, that that he will have the power to appoint a supervisor if the county chooses to recall a supervisor. And right now, because they have conservative majority down there in Shasta County, they're trying, the liberals, the other people, whatever you want to call them, they're trying to get rid of one of the conservative supervisors. And so there's a lot of things going on down there with that. They're working very hard to take back their county, and the voting machines they're going to get rid of the vending machines and do a hand counting, which we should look at very seriously. I just wanted to bring this stuff to your attention. We need some strong leadership and bring these people together.
Thank you.
Without leadership, we don't have, you know, people don't know who to follow.
Thank you, Mr. Bradford.
You know, we need to keep our dams. Thank you.
Jeff Leland.
Good morning, Jeff Leland, Mount Shasta. I'm going to read this quick, so keep up. I'm a county resident representative of the state of New California, a We the People movement for the preservation of the republic guaranteed to citizens by the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4. By this letter, I am notifying all county board of supervisors today that they must first and foremost prioritize protecting our national security during any future elections. It is imperative that we comply with implementation of security measures to protect the sovereign right of each eligible citizen to have authentic outcome when casting a vote in our elections. Back in 2017, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security issued a statement clearly designating elections infrastructure as critical infrastructure. Election infrastructure is critical infrastructure for the obvious reason that elections have a major impact on national security. It's vital that the state of California complies with that inherent intent from the federal government and works to ensure a system of cybersecurity and oversight is established within every political subdivision. Every component of the election system used in our county must have safeguards in place to prevent any attacks which threaten our national security. Secure elections are the protected right for every eligible citizen, and it is incumbent on our representatives to exercise their authority to see that no electronic voting system in the county is used as the primary method for counting, tabulating, or verifying federal elections unless those systems meet necessary standards of protection. The federal government has made it very clear that election equipment is considered a target by those who want to threaten the safety and security of our country. Electronic voting systems that contain components that are made with parts produced in countries considered adversaries to the United States must never be used as the primary method for conducting our elections in our county, state, or country. Dominion systems include embedded modems and circuitry on the motherboard the size of a pencil point that is made in China, a nation adversarial to the United States, an obvious breach of security to elections. On March 29, 2023, President Biden declared a national emergency pursuant to the International Emergency Economic Act to deal with the unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States constituted by the increasing prevalence and severity of malicious cyber-enabled activities originating from or directed by persons located in whole or substantial part outside of the United States that has since been extended by 1 year. I call upon each board member to act on behalf of the safety and welfare of our citizenry as the representatives who, by oath of office freely made, committed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the state of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Your position requires that you heed the concerns relating to malicious cyber-enabled activities and recognize the immediate need for security by eliminating the use of voting machines from our elections starting with the upcoming federal election in 2024. And I have 11 seconds left. I made it.
You did a good job.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public would like to speak? Public comment? Anyone online?
Sure,
I'm online. Okay. We'll move on to our regular scheduled program, but before we start, just want to welcome Natalie Reed as our upgraded county council. Something I'm always proud of is that we always promote from within. Where we can. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you. You okay with that, Natalie?
Yes, thank you. I'm excited to serve in this new capacity.
I know you are. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to move on to item 5, consent agenda, board's wishes.
I'm going to pull item A.
Pull item A?
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing else, move to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobson?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. Item 5A.
I just have a question for somebody. Maybe Elizabeth can answer this. I don't know.
Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Yeah, I don't know if Jim Smith is on the phone. If he is,
he is up
there.
Oh, okay.
Battery
100%. I've got
on mute.
I am here, sir.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
A couple months ago, I got a request to participate as a cooperating agency with the revised management plan for the Southern Mountain Monument. Is that the essence of this piece that's on our agenda today?
That is correct, sir. Upon consultation with Elizabeth, we have decided to pursue this as a lead agency.
Okay, I appreciate that. I've got a call from the BLM office in Medford wanting to have a designated representative from the county to work through that process. Am I to assume that's probably you?
Well, that sounds good. I must warn the board, my staffing at the office here is a little bit in jeopardy. I have had my senior deputy out on medical leave for since November, and probably won't be back until sometime in July, maybe. And I'm likely to have a second staff member out in July for a medical reason. That puts me into a pretty shorthanded situation. I just wanted to warn you ahead of time that the time that this may take away from my operations at the county might be considerable, have some considerable impact. Just giving you a heads up. I don't have a problem with this.
Before I return that call, Jim, what I'm looking for is a point person to run that process for the county.
I guess that would be me.
Okay. That's all I have.
Move
to second. Discussion real quick. So, Elizabeth, this is the one that I got the same call, forwarded it to you. This went to Ag, who was going to be the point person.
Okay.
So that's how I interpret it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was assuming. I didn't want to assume, though.
It's okay.
All righty. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobson?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we're moving on. Article request. We're going to have the public defender update the status on operations.
Anecdotally, this is the 71st year for the Siskiyou County Public Defender's Office, established by the Board of Supervisors in June, 71 years ago. And in the United States, any person that is facing a loss of liberty is entitled to representation. And that has been interpreted by various courts and legislatures as, if you can't afford it, the government must provide it. And so when people think about public defenders, they think about felonies and misdemeanors and juvenile cases, but we also represent people in civil contempt, family law, civil contempt. We're required to provide representation. I have over 50 clients who are conservatees, and the hits keep coming. The legislature keeps adding different things that we do. Most recently, we now have to do resentencings for people in CDCR and petitions regarding registration. And we are trying to keep abreast of that, because I always think about the words of two of our supervisors from many years ago: every department needs to work smarter and harder. So we have had that in mind. So this is how 30 years ago, when I was doing this, we thought about criminal defense. We thought about you go to court, you go to jail, and you do research in your office. But that has been transitioning through legislation, through lawsuits from the ACLU, through court cases, and now we are considered the standard of care for what we do, adequate representation, is much larger. So we are expected to not just go to court, but we have to be experts on forensics and immigration law. We have to be experts on psychosocial assessments, and we are supposed to provide all of these services for our clients. So back in 2021, in February 2021, I saw AB 625 coming down the pipeline. And AB 625 was legislation to establish a committee to create statutory workload standards for indigent defense with no funding mechanism. So we decided to come up with a five-year plan at that point to try to deal with what was happening with the pandemic and also to kind of think about how we could, with our current resources, restructure to provide adequate representation, better representation, and start incorporating technology and other resources that we were able to access through the pandemic funding, while also doing recruitment and retention. Those were the three main parts of our five-year plan, because part of what came out of COVID was a mass exodus from public defender offices across the country. There has been a huge wave of retirements and people just quitting. And counties that have ridiculously large amounts of money are having difficulty recruiting. So one of the things we looked at as one of the three legs of this five-year plan stool was how to recruit and retain. So what I wanted you to know is that in the first 2 years, we were able to, thank you very much, use some ARPA funding to purchase the same case management system that the district attorney's office uses to increase efficiencies. And it's paperless and it's cloud-based. So that meant that the attorneys could be much more efficient on how they handle cases. We could work on things while we're in court during downtime. We could access materials through the district attorney's office from the sheriff's department. Because one of the other things that came out of this was body camera footage. The law says that we are supposed to watch every minute of the body camera footage in every single case. So that was one of the things that we did with some grant funding, is we purchased a program that would allow us to do that in an expedited fashion, and we are also collaborating with other departments like the Sheriff's Department and the DA's Department to have that information transferred between different agencies with fewer, you know, people having to handle it. We also were able to leverage some grant funding to hire someone to start scanning our file morgue, because we are required to keep all files for life. So that's what the basement is. There is a giant room of our files that we have someone grant funded scanning them into our system. Also, we worked with Behavioral Health Services, and we were able to create a collaboration to deal with some of the mental health cases that were clogging our jails, clogging our systems, and we have one of the most admired mental health diversion programs in the state. I would love to say that it was because of our office, but frankly, it was because of a collaboration with Behavioral Health Services and their dedication to this population, because they have a vision of getting them out of our jail. Also, we were able to identify some non-general fund sources to get another attorney. We are recruiting for another attorney position to try to help us with all of these new caseloads that have come on board. And we're still recruiting. It has not been a robust response to our recruitment.
So what we're looking at is trying to deal with some of the issues we see coming. We see the workload study is going to be released January 1st, 2024. And we are trying to deal with what that will mean for us. I actually placed myself on that committee so that there would be a voice for the rural counties to say, where is the funding? We are also looking at the implementation of Care Court and the fact that public defenders will be required for Care Court with no funding. And we are working very hard to try to restructure how we do things because we saw a lot of people being lost because of the silos between departments. And through no fault of other departments, a lot of people were cycling through the system because they could not or did not have the ability to access resources. So across the country, you have seen public defender offices embed social workers into their departments because a social worker in a public defender department is able to work under their privilege and deal with the fact that not all of our clients can access probation because their cases are not adjudicated. Not all of them are eligible for behavioral health services because they're not eligible for Medi-Cal or they don't meet requirements or they're in custody. So we have this entire group of people that kept coming through the jails and coming through the systems, and I think that the sheriff would tell you that there are about 250 people that we arrest over and over and over again in this county. We are in the top five per capita in the state for arrests, our county is.
Repeat arrests?
Yeah, no. Capital arrests. I think we might be number three at this point. I'm not sure, but we are in the top five. And so I really wanted to turn this over to our social worker because this has been an enormous success. We are able to leverage non-BHS resources to get people placements, housing, treatment, transportation, because we are not constrained by the regulations that constrain behavioral health services. We can also access behavioral health services. And so our social worker position was created and funded by the CCP, and that is Sadie Wilson. She's here along with our assistant public defender, Rachel Rosemeyer. And Sadie started in July, so we have approximately... December. So we have approximately 6 months of data. So what I can tell you is that she is actually only part-time, and she is able to do this amount of work. She's part-time because she's also going to law school at night and raising several children. So we are very grateful to have the 32 hours a week that we have of Ms. Wilson. Her primary role was to work with mental health diversion candidates. That's been an incredible program. We've had, I think, two people who graduated from that program get rearrested and recharged since 2019. It's been a huge success, but I'm turning this over to Sadie so Sadie can explain to you how she is able to work with these populations and use all the resources and not wait for probation and not wait for behavioral health services.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's an honor to be here and tell you guys about some of the incredible things we're working on over at the Public Defender's Office. So my role was created to help the attorneys get clients access to resources and support in the community once they've identified somebody that needs assistance. This looks like getting them access to food supplies, treatment, helping them schedule appointments or access other resources that are available here locally. I also get to help them navigate very complex systems that are complicated even for the average person to maneuver, such as human services, social security benefits, food stamps, things like that. And what we have found is the most prominent needs for our people here locally is access to housing support, drug and alcohol treatment, mental health treatment, and also medication services. Although the majority of the clients that I'm able to work with are going through the mental health diversion process, Those things that I get to help with for those folks are coordinating their mental health assessments, helping the attorneys gather their items for their petitions, and getting them access to treatment. Once the court decides that a person's going to be granted into mental health diversion, I'm able to locate those resources and get a sustainable exit plan in place for them so they can transition out of custody back into the community safely. For other clients that are not in the diversion course or process, I'm still able to advocate for them to access our local resources, provide intensive case management support, and complete comprehensive intake or needs assessments so that I can better help them move forward and get the things that they need. This is a comprehensive list of all the services and support I've been able to provide for all of our clients, not only in diversion or out of custody, but for those folks in custody and not on the diversion track also. So since December, we've provided 92 clients with case management support. We've connected 49 people with mental health assessments. We've connected 47 people to drug and alcohol assessments and provided 16 people with transportation support. In addition to these things, I've been able to help with the release of 88 people from custody. So even though we're able to collaborate with our local agencies, as we all know, the resources here are not necessarily as comprehensive as we would like them to be. So in cases where people don't qualify or are not eligible for our local resources, I've been able to access out-of-county resources, mental health support, housing resources, and also placement in nonprofit drug and alcohol programs. So we've seen some pretty incredible opportunities made for people in really tough situations. We have presented 16 comprehensive exit plans to the courts, 9 of which have been approved and 2 that are currently pending. And those things include housing support, access to their medical appointments or their psychiatric appointments, and just wraparound services to better support them being successful. So some of the major barriers that I have seen through these processes are people do not have a healthy support system. They don't have access to the most basic things needed to access our services, like an ID or a mailing address. And they do have past criminal convictions that bar them from our very minimal local resources, such as 290 status or arson charges. So having their immediate needs met really changes the entire direction for the people that we're working with, because they're able to shift from just trying to survive to actually learning how to live and enjoy their lives. It's also a very exciting time for indigent defense because we get to close the gap between the courthouse, the jailhouse, and then our clients' homes. On May 9th, we were able to launch our resource pantry, which is grant-funded. And this is to incentivize people's programming, celebrate their accomplishments, and also meet their immediate needs when local resources are trying to be identified or located. As Leo mentioned earlier, we've seen incredible success for the people that we're working with once they have accessed all of these resources and are able to build stable lives for themselves, and it's an incredible thing to be a part of. So thank you very much for letting me come and share that.
Thank you. Let's see if there's any questions. Anyone? So this resource pantry, where is that located?
In our office.
In your office? Okay.
So we were able to use a grant to buy essentially things that would fill the gap for our clients when they're being released in the evening or they literally have no way to get to court. We can actually give them a gas voucher. We can give them bus passes. We can give them clothes. It's not meant to be a comprehensive, sustained sort of assistance, but it is designed to help in the moment until Sadie is able to get them where they need to be in a sustainable fashion. But also we wanted to incentivize the pro-social behavior that helps our clients. We wanted to say, oh my gosh, you have graduated to phase 3 in mental health diversion. Would you like to have a Walmart gift card? Would you like to have a Dollar Tree gift card? Something small, but something that recognizes how hard it is for them to overcome those barriers. We have enough funding that we think this resource pantry will last at least another year.
Nice. Yeah. Is that it?
You done? Unless you have questions.
Get Rachel up here. Let her speak.
What's left to say? We're extremely grateful that we've been able to invent Sadie, and she's doing, in a very short amount of time, an incredible amount of work.
I think what I appreciate is that it seems like it's working, being very innovative, you know, for a small rural, poor rural county. We're doing something great.
And again, I want to give
Thank
a shout out to Behavioral Health Services for an incredible level of involvement and cooperation that I don't see with any of my counterparts in the state. So that we have been able to have dozens and dozens of people graduate from mental health diversion and not stay in the system. And that's huge. I mean, not all of the mental health diversion clients qualify for behavioral health services, but they have dedicated an enormous amount of resources so that we can do our magic.
My only goal in life is to get a CSAC award for some kind of innovative program. This could be it, so make sure.
Okay.
Please, go ahead.
In sitting in on the criminal justice meetings once a month, I hear all the different departments get so bogged down in the regulatory issues and all of the AB this and SB that, and everybody's so focused on the rules that they forget who their clients are. And you three are so refreshing, and that you are so focused on who your clients are and what your job really is. And who you serve, and the fact that you are thinking outside the box and using funds that are available to you to the biggest benefit, and being able to collaborate the departments that you know could benefit you the most and your clients the most is really refreshing and really wonderful for me to hear, because I work very closely with behavioral health and housing issues and see what's happening in Wairika, and you all are doing a really bang-up job, and I appreciate that a lot.
Well, we really appreciate having these other resources because it enables the lawyers to do lawyering, because before we had Ms. Wilson, we had people like me trying to place people, and it was ridiculous. My success rate, not that great. Sadie's, incredible. And so we're able to meet some workload standards with current attorney staffing, assuming our recruitment is successful, by having lawyers do lawyering and having the people that have expertise do the other services that we're now required to provide. The idea being that if the criminal justice system is a river with bodies, people floating in it, the idea is we kept just wading out and trying to pull people out, and we were missing people. So this way we can send someone upstream and kind of figure out why we have people in the river, and also so that the lawyers can do the courtroom work, the lawyering, the things that you require specialized, training for. We're doing what we need to do and able to help people.
Well, you're doing it well.
Thanks.
Well done.
Quick question, Lael. Did you happen to bring a hard copy of the PowerPoint for my file? If we've got it, I'll
yes.
get it off the drive.
Yes, we did.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good, move on to item 6D, General Services, Sanitation.
Good morning. I'm Linda Kimball, Project Coordinator for General Services. I am here to ask approval for a designation letter to allow our director to continue applying and using payment for hard tire grants.
Any questions from the board?
Move to approve.
Second. Motion and a second.
Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes. County Administration, item C.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is just a friendly reminder of the county code that was enacted last year that prohibits firework usage and sales within the unincorporated areas of the county. And with 4th of July fastly approaching, this was just an item to remind the public that this ordinance is in place and it does have a component of enforcement. And we do encourage folks to attend the commercial or professional certified firework displays that are offered throughout the North State. But within the unincorporated areas, we are asking to not use or sale or keep or store fireworks in order to minimize the potential of fire hazards. So with that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions or
board's wishes.
Pleasure of the board.
Just a comment. I thank you because, as you know, I reached out to you last week. The public's and the volunteer fire department's a little bit confused. They thought this was an annual resolution, but it's actually a standing ordinance. It doesn't have to be reauthorized every year. I'm glad you were able to engage that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're
quite welcome. Well, and then it's, I think it's timely. I mean, people don't follow like we follow it, so to speak. And I would just say a shameless plug, you know, 4th of July event down at Lake Siskiyou, they'll be putting on their professional over the way back fireworks as well. So with that, motion?
No motion, it was just information.
It was just
perfect.
Information.
Moving right along to item
Thank
D.
You.
Thank you. County Administration.
Thank you and good morning. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. And as the board is aware, in 2021, the bipartisan infrastructure law bill was passed, and it authorized $162 million to the Klamath watershed, which would be administered by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And the bipartisan infrastructure law funding, it detailed in the language that this was historic funding, which should be used to expand partnerships and develop sustainable solutions for the Klamath Basin, as we refer to it, the Klamath Watershed. The Tri-Counties group, which is made up of Supervisor Kopseth and Supervisor Chris representing Siskiyou County, two supervisors from MoDoc County, and one commissioner from Klamath County, over the last few years have pulled together to represent the Klamath watershed on a variety of watershed issues. They've been strong advocates that in order to best spend this money to end water conflict, an advisory committee should be developed, made up of local counties and local tribes to guide the expenditure of this funding, obviously with input from other stakeholders. The funding is now in its second year of distributing funds over what was initially developed as like a 5-year timeline to develop or to expend funds, although there is not a time limit within the law itself. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife recently provided the public with the pre-proposals that were submitted by applicants, and ask that the tri-counties that comments be received back by June 15th. So this agenda item is asking for the board's direction for staff and the two supervisors to work within the tri-counties group to develop that letter and then authorize the chair to sign it on behalf of the entire board once it is completed. So that's what I'm here for, and I'm happy to take any questions. And we do not have a draft letter yet.
Okay.
You know, it's a pretty quick turnaround, so we're still reviewing some of the items.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Go ahead, Supervisor.
Start with Supervisor.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
Oh, then wait.
I'll take questions from.
You might wait though if Supervisor Chris wants to lead out.
Yeah, that's all right.
Maybe we'll follow up. So
go ahead.
Because we. There's
okay.
Kind of a meeting that's happened, so
okay.
We'll
do it, Chris. Let's
maybe
hitting the rest was kind of cold.
Right. No,
but
it's good.
Yeah.
So that might give you a.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to see, a lot of projects. And it's easy to look at each individual project and say benefits and costs and what's going to be gained and lost. But comprehensively, with the tri-counties, what we've been looking at is, does it lead to a solution that's more water for ag, more water for fish, save the fish, not just what we've termed random acts of conservation. One thing we're worried about is this $167 million being spent on just nice things, nice projects, people going after, and then after 5-6 years, nothing gained. We're not going to probably get this sort of funding again. This funding is pretty to have a United States Senator champion for funding for this area, Senator Merkley did, is big, and you know, he was in a position to do it. That's not always going to happen. So we want to try to capture this funding to where we could use it for down the, it brings everyone together, but it also brings out actual solutions. One thing that we do support as a Tri-County is the work on the, and we did the tour there, the Don Fishing Hatchery and Sacrifice. That actually is a solution. We're able, if we're able to produce more suckerfish to the area of survival, age of survival, that'll release and reduce environmental burdens, regulation burdens. But looking at the list of what's being completed so far, these look like nice projects, but doesn't lead towards the solution we're all after. I'll stop there.
So I would add the mission of this funding that was first rolled out by the federal government is that it was to unite the basin. And the Tri-Counties have been a proponent for that mission. With regard to the list that's there, there's we don't know enough about them to be able to say yay or nay. We would like to see a criteria built by U.S. Fish and Wildlife that provides, a criteria that meets the mission of the way the money was funded. So because there is no ending to how this money is spent down, while we continue to support the hatchery funding, if you remember last year, the Tri-Counties had asked that $30 million of the $32 million be rolled out right away for the suckerfish hatchery. The agencies, are going to fund that $10 million a year over the next 3 years. So Tri-Counties is going to ask about, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to pause this process, to reevaluate the criteria if it meets the end goal of the mission, which is to unite the basin, provide solution, and end conflict. So, and we're not sure yet of this list that has been provided to us. Last year there was a $15 million, $17 million split. I think $17 million went to the tribes, and $15 million went to, I'll call it anyone else? Is that correct?
Any other
so do we know
project?
Anything more about this list and how this was broke down?
No.
Okay.
No, I still need to reach out to
Yeah, so
that
that's a question too. Is this funding the $32 million or is it the $15 million that we have input towards? Because my understanding is on the $17 million for tribal projects, we don't have a hand in that, although we would like to be able to be supportive of good projects that provide solutions. Last year we were kind of left out of that one, right?
So last year we did not receive the proposals submitted by the tribes. We received proposals that were submitted by all other entities,
right,
groups. This year, the Excel document that was uploaded and that we discussed yesterday did have pre-proposals from tribal entities. And my understanding of the question from the Tri-Counties yesterday was, how is the funding, the pot of funding that U.S. Fish and Wildlife is planning to dole out for this year, how will that be split amongst tribes and then other submittals? So that's one of the pieces that we will track down for the letter.
And then additionally, the Tri-Counties is continuing to make it known that we support in engaging in this advisory committee and asking the federal counterparts to be supportive of that, where boards of supervisory commissioners from counties and tribal members can guide the process on how best to place this money in projects that do provide solutions.
Correct.
So I think at this point, I don't know that we're prepared to say X, Y, or Z to the projects. We're still calling for more clarification and kind of a pause in bringing an evaluation of the criteria.
And that would be consistent with some other comments that have been submitted by some other groups within the watershed, including Klamath Water Users Association. We, as the Tri-Counties discussed yesterday, we would continue to support the hatchery,
right,
which is also being supported by tribes and other stakeholders, irrigators. So the letter would outline that. But you're correct. Specific to that Excel document, we don't, as based on the conversation yesterday, we do not plan to cost anything specifically that we support, but that there needs to be a better criteria to evaluate these projects, and that the bipartisan infrastructure law funding does allow us to hit pause to determine what is the best way and to what end goal to spend this money that we probably won't see again in the future.
So is it up?
Yeah, I thank you for that. Number of concerns. It's kind of like blood in the water for sharks at this point, you know, where everybody's trying to get a piece of the pie,
mm-hmm,
if you will. And I'm not sure some of these projects do anything to support the issues in the watersheds, but primarily ones that are going toward administrative support and infrastructure of buildings and such that are not direct projects associated with watershed recovery. That's my general concern. My other concern is that really I see, you know, the point that both of you raise is to reduce conflict. I see some of these producing more conflict within the basin, because as I go through the list, I look at like the legs on a centipede, where are some of these things going, and how they're going to be used, and with little detail on what the analysis is. Some of it actually appears, at least in my mind, to refute some of the GSP work that we did in the Valley and in Shasta and Scott. So I guess I can't throw my weight at all actually behind something at this point without the details and without some kind of a draft list to do some kind of evaluation on whether or not that's prudent for us.
You are reflecting concerns that were discussed yesterday and will be reflected in the letter, largely that, again, we need more detail, but we want to see on-the-ground projects that actually result in, you know, at the end of the day, you can quantify what the benefits have been, not the construction of new buildings, not adding capacity. Those are the same concerns that have been reflected by the elected members that are a part of the Tri-Counties group.
Yeah, and I'd like to reflect one more thing too, is that some of these administrative requests are duplicates of what state agencies are already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just adding another two or three data sets and confusion to an assessment of need on the ground.
Sure. I agree with what's been said already, so I'm not going to belabor that. I don't think it makes sense to add more administrative layers to what's already out there, and I don't think that it makes sense to just throw projects out there just to spend money. Forward thinking and monitoring and, you know, doing good work for the benefit of everybody makes absolute good sense. We need to find projects that are beneficial to everybody. We already know that. We've talked about that over and over and over again. So we need to weed out the wheat from the chaff, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
and really determine what are the most beneficial projects out of that list that we've seen, but also maybe determine which ones, or find some new ones that are really hone in on what we've been talking about forever, and find those ones that are really specific to what we've been talking about. And again, not talk about maybe administrative issues or buildings, but water, fish, flows, all those things that really are meaningful. And narrow it down to real specifics and spend a whole lot of money on, or not even all of it, if we don't need it all, or spend it over time and not just 2 years, but 15 or 20, because that's really what we need to focus on is time and not just what's directly in front of us, but 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 years from now, maybe when we're not here, but leave it for the next couple of generations. And that's what we need to look at.
One final thought, you know, collecting my thoughts here. If there's a way to convey an issue that I always have, it's that we tend to always look at the fix as being a regulatory constraint. I don't see anything in here that's looking at the production end of water. Everything's looking at a regulatory end of consumption. And we know where that all leads. So I'd be looking for feasibility of storage projects, feasibility of increasing flow, increasing upland resilience, and the actual supply coming in, rather than continuing to ratchet down both our economy and the life that sustains most of our families here in Cisco.
Board's wishes. Ms. Reed. County Council, Ms. Reed.
County Council, Natalie Reed. I would recommend that staff summarize the discussion that's happened with the board to make clear what the content of this letter will entail. And to the extent that there's any vagueness, that the letter be brought back on the 20th for ratification.
Okay. So, in summary, this letter will be sent to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by June 15th, and it will detail that we appreciate their U.S. Fish and Wildlife's opportunity to review the pre-proposals, that the Tri-Counties is still promoting their efforts to develop an advisory committee, that we support the sucker hatchery and rearing facility and the future development of that, that we are requesting that additional detail and or criteria be developed to better evaluate these proposals to determine how they will benefit the overall watershed to end water conflict, which is, at the end of the day, one of the biggest goals, and that we support projects that are on-the-ground actions that for this funding, we don't support projects that are for, constructing more buildings, adding capacity, but they need to be projects that result in a quantifiable benefit to the watershed. That is the summary item.
And the motion would be to approve a letter with that
comment. Before we go there, I'll just add that one of the concerns that is, at least from my perspective, land acquisitions is something that federal and state money should never be a part of. And, that it doesn't go to the end of resolve and ending conflict. So that's one of the things I think that we've also highlighted, that, they should be more focused on solution and ending conflict versus the ability to acquire private land. And I'm saying this because Siskiyou County, just like Modoc, and I'm not sure about Klamath, but I'm sure they're in the same boat, roughly 10 to 12% of Siskiyou County is where we receive property tax. The rest is federal government or under some programs, state land that we don't receive that benefit from. So 10 to 12% of the lands in Siskiyou County are what we receive property tax from, and we can't afford to lose any more to private land, tax-paying land, to the state or the federal government.
Thank you for that. And so I would add to that summary that the, we do not support the acquisition. acquisition of property or water rights, which is consistent with what the Tri-Counties discussed yesterday.
Still want board's wishes.
So moved.
Do you want?
Oh, she's going to draft a letter and put the chair to sign.
Then it'll come back on the
13th.
What's the ratification?
Okay. I believe we had to get Mr. Bond by the 15th.
Right, yes.
So I believe.
What's your fix there, County Council?
So you're approving a letter with the content described.
Just described.
Yes. For signature by the chair. To the extent that there's any amendments to that, it would be brought back for ratification on the 20th.
And I'm going to want to see that letter before I sign that. Well before the due date. So okay. If you get, I mean, I don't want to be signing it on the 14th if you want.
Okay.
That was your
motion? That's the motion.
Second motion.
All righty. No other comments or questions, correct?
Have at it, Wendy.
All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Okay.
Okay. Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Von Smith?
Yes. And I assume that my board members will also get be seeing the same thing that I'm going to be seeing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not in a different seat, same time.
Yes.
Thank you. Wendy, you want to take a 5-minute?
Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah, let's do that.
Appreciate it.